Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. Glad to be with you, and your calls are always welcome. And on this program, naysayers always go to the head of the line at 866-439-5277. Emails go to talk@larslarson.com. Gail Trotter joins me now, who's an attorney and a senior fellow at the Independent Women's Forum. Gail, always a pleasure to have you on the program. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Lars.
So, we got a chance to watch the president break out the tears the other day and roll out a string of different things he plans to do without the benefit of Congress to put limitations on how Americans may possess or purchase weapons. You think this may actually be the first step on the way to confiscation?
I absolutely do. I cite a brief in a recent op-ed that I wrote for the Daily Caller that posted today. And the brief that I thought was really fascinating was by this group called Jews for the Preservation of Firearm Ownership. And they filed a brief in the very famous and pivotal Second Amendment case, D.C. versus Heller. And this group did a bunch of research on the 20th century and gun control regulations, and they showed through their research that, you know, we had 70 million mothers, fathers, sons, and daughters who were killed by their oppressive governments during the 20th century. And this group demonstrated that on the way to genocide and mass oppression, in many of these circumstances, the government started these regulations, which led to registration, which led to confiscation of firearms, and then the government was able to oppress these citizens of their own country, and they were ultimately, in some cases, able to murder millions and millions of their citizens. It's quite terrifying.
Well, it is, and I know that some people are going to say, well, you're running the slippery slope argument. You're saying that because they've done these things the president calls reasonable, that this will lead to confiscation at some point. How do we persuade people? I think that's likely, but how do we persuade the skeptics who say, no, they're just asking for a certain number of regulations, and it's essentially harmless?
This is the critical point, and I think everyone needs to understand this. When you look at the proposals that President Obama has put forward in his administration, and especially this week with the executive actions that are pretty vague, but he's trying to roll them out, none of them would have stopped the mass shootings that recently occurred. And if you think that they're common sense and they're trying to address the issue of gun violence in our country, then you would think he would pick things like prosecution of felony violations of weapons that have gone down significantly under the Obama administration. You'd think he would emphasize things like that, but no, he's doing things that would not solve the problems of gun violence in our country, which leads me to question, what is the agenda behind this administration's push to restrict the constitutional rights of law-abiding citizens?
No, I agree with you. Let me ask you about one thing that I think is let's say, the most tangible change that he seems to have proposed. And I'm not even sure how they're planning to roll this out, but he keeps making mention of taking people on the no-fly list and prohibiting them from buying guns. And from a lot of people who aren't familiar with the issue, I think, they call the show and say, well, what's the problem with that? And I said, the problem is the constitutional guarantee of due process. And they say, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, I could be put on the no-fly list tomorrow. I haven't been, but there are other reporters and journalists who have. There are members of Congress who have. And to a large extent, you're not even aware you're on it until you actually try to fly and you're denied. And at that point, there's actually no process. I mean, I'll give you the example, Gail. You're an attorney. I'm not. But if I were, I've never been stopped for drunk driving, but if I was stopped for drunk driving in the state I live in, before they even take my driver's license away, I can demand a hearing. At which point I can say, I don't think you should take my driver's license away. You know, before I've even gone to trial, I have a right to a hearing, even on something like a government-issued license. If I'm on the no-fly list, there is no guarantee of a hearing. Now, you can bring a lawsuit, but that's very time-consuming and exceedingly expensive. So I wish there were a legal mechanism, and I'm not sure, maybe you can think of one, where if the president actually orders these agencies to begin to deny people on the list, do we actually have to have somebody who then tries to purchase a firearm and is denied before you could bring some kind of case? Or is there a way to say, if the president is telling federal agencies to begin to deny people, whether we have a particular case or not, that's an attempt to deny a whole group of people. I mean, it sounds like tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands on the no-fly list, who will be denied the right to buy a gun, and that itself is an infringement, even if there's been no actual attempt to purchase a firearm and a denial. Is there a way to go at it legally on that? Because that one's the one that's most offensive. He keeps bragging lately about being a constitutional expert, and yet if there's no due process and the government is going to take away a liberty from me, even if I haven't exercised the liberty, do I have a right to, would people threatened by this have a right to bring a case and sue and stop the government from acting?
Right, and you've just hit the nail on the head. It's ridiculous. That's why we have due process in the first place, because you think of the power of the federal government, that they can take away our rights without even having to go to court or, you know, prove anything. The burden is supposed to be on the government to prove that you have done something wrong. And when they put you on the no-fly list, you haven't necessarily even broken any laws or done anything. They're just suspicious of you. And as you said, many people have been put on the no-fly list who shouldn't be there in the first place. It's ripe for abuse and error. And on your question, the problem is the courts look at a concept called standing. You have to have standing in order to have your case heard by a court.
Right.
And it, you know, could vary by state. It depends on what the judge thinks, and it throws it completely on its head.
Would I be, if I could find somebody who was on the no-fly list and say, will you bring an action? Does he have to have actually had the denial of his right to buy a gun, or can he say the mere fact that I'm on this list? It would be, I mean, for example, if you were to say, we're going to take every Muslim in America and we're going to say you don't have the right to attend a mosque because we think you might cook up something, you might do something, and so we're going to deny, and even if the man doesn't go to the mosque, he still had a civil liberty infringed upon because the government agency said if he ever tries to go and buy a gun, we've already got him on a list that will keep him from buying a gun because he's on the no-fly list. And as you say, a lot of people on the no-fly list, if they had a probable cause case against them, the government would have brought an indictment or would be preparing to. But in this case, you can have people on the no-fly list who may never be indicted, may never be charged with a crime, may never be brought to trial, but they're still on the no-fly list with no way to get off.
That's right, and it's up to a judge, and it should be exactly the other way around. And the president swears an oath of office that he will uphold the Constitution. So he, and like you said, he was a constitutional law professor at the University of Chicago, so he knows it intellectually, and he should know it in his heart, too, that his foremost responsibility is to make sure that people's fundamental liberties are protected, and the idea that we cannot be denied life, liberty, or property unless we have due process of law, and that's even taken apart from the Second Amendment issue, that is a fundamental keystone of our constitutional system, and people should understand that. I mean, it, like you said, it sounds very reasonable. We don't want people who are on a no-fly list for terrorism, but they don't understand the mechanism of how people are put there, and we don't want people out there litigating this because, as you said, it's very expensive, and even if you could get a nonprofit law firm to take it, think of all the people who will not have the ability to do that. In the meantime, we have over 2 million defensive gun uses in this country every single year.
Yep.
And over 90% of violent crime happens without guns. So if you deny the woman who has an abusive ex-domestic partner who's stalking her, and she's on the no-fly list for some reason, and she can't go get a firearm to protect herself, then you're putting people at grave danger, grave risk.
Gail,
that's on the president's doorstep.
Gail, I'm so sorry the time is up, but thank you so much for the time and for what you do at the Independent Women's Forum.
Thank you. Great to be with you, Lars.
You bet. Gail Trotter, attorney with the Independent Women's Forum. You've got the Lars Larson Show.
Larson Show.